It is exciting to have more than enough so that we can give. I was sharing with Karen and Myrna that earlier this week, Everly and I had run to Bi-Mart to get some totes for the women's conference, because I'm always trying to get ahead of the game and get things prepared. And they didn't end up being for the women's conference because Everly and I got 37 backpacks. They had put their backpacks on clearance, and I just felt prompted by the Lord to ask the manager if he would give it to us for an even more discounted price, and he did. And so we had 37 backpacks, and so both of the totes that I had gotten for the women's conference were filled with backpacks. So then I went back yesterday by myself to get more totes for the women's conference, and that didn't work either, because everything, we had only gotten the backpacks that were in a certain price range for discount, because I'm always looking for a deal, right? We want our money to go even further, and sometimes that means you got to be patient and wait. And I was standing in line, and a lady was checking me out, and I had gotten a bunch of school supplies that were on, 75% off. And so I had those in the tote, and I looked over at the backpacks, and I was like, just one second. And I went back over, and they had marked down all the $30 and $40 backpacks to $3 and $4. So the two more totes that I had gotten for the women's conference were not for the women's conference. They were for more school supplies and backpacks. We have 52 backpacks that I didn't pay over $5 for any of those backpacks. Is that amazing or what? But see, we have extra in an account ahead of time that's for this type of thing. Because there's a guy behind me, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I should have let you go first. And he had two big bottles of alcohol, and he goes, I'm just here for alcohol. This is really cool. What are you doing? And I got to share with him what I was doing, and he's like, that is the coolest thing. It is so nice to know that people actually care about other people. And he's like, this is the coolest thing that your church is doing. So I got to share with him what we were doing, and that was a further testimony. But we had it available to be able to get when it was inexpensive. Amen? Because that makes your gift go further. The lady and I were talking, and she's like, you probably in reality could have gotten 4 backpacks for what you've paid for all of these backpacks and all of his school supplies. She's like, because these backpacks were regularly $30 and $40. She's like, and look at all this stuff. And I was like, I know. God is so good. Amen. So Pastor Steve was saying, when he said that, in my mind, I'm thinking I'd have to get a whole lot more totes. If we had more finances coming in, we could purchase more backpacks. Amen. How awesome would it be to roll up in vans, plural, to this foundation and say, are you sure you're ready for us? You know what I mean? Where they're like, oh my word, it's Redeemed Church. Pull out the reserves to come help us unload. That's an exciting place to be, because then they recognize this is coming from a church. A church. What? A church? Yes, a church that is backed by the love of God. And that's what we bring. I got excited when he started saying that. I'm like, my mind was spinning. Another storage unit all for backpacks. And God is good. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and open up to 1 Corinthians 15. And we are continuing on with the never give up in your finances. We don't give up, right? No matter what it looks like, no matter what we see or we can't see, we never give up. And the verse that we're reading is verse 58. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Say steadfast. Steadfast. Immovable. Say immovable. Always abounding. Say always abounding. In the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, we learned in Bible study this week that when it says therefore, you have to stop and go back and find out what it is therefore. Amen. Why can we have this confidence? Because if you back it up, Paul is talking to the Corinthians church, and he's explaining to them about the rapture. And he's telling them death has no sting for us. We don't have to worry about the sting of death. And then verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory. So because we know that death no longer has a sting, or things that are dying, or things that are shriveling up. So if you feel like your bank account is dying or it's shriveling up, look at verse 57, because 57 gives the assurance of this is what is. Because of this, then you get the next part. So because he's given us the victory, we can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain for him. Aren't you so glad for the Lord? He doesn't just tell you, be steadfast, be immovable. He tells you that after he's already told you, guess what? I've already given you the victory. How much more easy is it to stand when you know? Okay, let's just put it this way. What if somebody asked you to stand and hold a sign? You're probably like, oh, what? But what if they told you, oh, by the way, here's your $250. I just need you to stand here for 5 minutes. Does that change how you're going to stand and hold your sign proudly? See my sign? See my sign? Why? Because you have $250 already in your pocket. You don't even have to wonder if they're going to pay you for it, right? Your Heavenly Father has streets of gold. So where your finances are concerned, do not stress. He has given you the victory. Your part is to be steadfast. But you don't have to be steadfast going, oh, is he going to provide? Is it going to work out? No, he's already told you it's going to work out. And it's not just going to work out. It's going to work out for your good. Somebody say amen. So we can be steadfast. We can be immovable because we already know what the promise is. We already got it in our pocket. If you can get excited about $250 from a stranger, you guys, your Heavenly Father has the cattle on hills stored up for you, the wealth of the wicked stored up for you. You can be assured that if you will stay firm in what you believe and not give up, your labor will not be in vain. Hallelujah. Amen? When a farmer, I love this picture. It's a farmer doing it the old way with a plow and a horse. Do you think he gave up halfway through? No, because he's probably a generational farmer that has farmed on that farm for forever. So great-grandpa, grandpa, dad, and now it's him. He is resting assured that if I plow this field, if I plant my seed, I'm going to reap a harvest. Why? Because that's the way it works. That's the way it works. When you come to church and you put your tithes and your offerings into the basket, I can tell you with full assurance of great-grandparents, of grandparents, of parents, and myself, the assurance that it is not in vain. You will reap a harvest. Amen? So we don't give up. We do not give up. There are lots of rumors of things that are coming down the pipeline that could be happening in the future. But can I tell you something? Your dad, your heavenly dad, he's already been there. He's already been there. And he's already made a way for you and your children. Because I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Never. Never. That's what the word says. Never. So you can rest assured as we move forward, and whether those rumors of what's coming happens or not, it doesn't matter to you because you have already plowed, you have already planted, and you will reap your harvest. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. Never give up. We thank you, God, that before you even ask us to do something, you've already told us that we can do it and that we have your assurance in our pocket, that we don't have to be in fear wondering. You've already told us we have the victory. We have the victory. And Father, I just pray for every seed that is sown today, for every person in their mind, in their heart, in their emotions. Father, as we move forward, as people, your people, Father, I thank you. We do not have to be like the world. We do not have to respond like the world responds. We do not have to fear like the world fears. We do not have to give up like the world gives up. We know, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That tells me you were with us yesterday, you're with us today, and you've already been in tomorrow, and you already have provided a way. And I thank you, Father, that we can have full assurance, that we can be steadfast, immovable, and doing the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We will reap our harvest. And we praise you for it in advance, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray over this message. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing on this message entitled, How to Be Strong in the End Times. Hallelujah. How to Be Strong in the End Times. And this is from Pastor George and Terry Pearson's broadcast on the Believer's Voice of Victory from August, most of August, maybe even into the first part of September. And I just felt stirred by the Lord to bring their outlines and share them in this setting. And honestly, there are so many points in their outlines that we just don't have in this framework. We're not going to get to it all. So if you do want to see it, go back and get it. Somebody say, go get it. Victory Network. And I just have the app on my phone, Victory Network app. And you can click the little on-demand feature. And then they've got one, I think it's where it's just the Kenneth Copeland Ministries broadcast. And there's one that's Believer's Voice of Victory Daily. And you can scroll through weeks and weeks and weeks of broadcasts. But anyway, so that's what the Lord, I believe, has directed me to do for this time of the year. Hallelujah. And how many know this is a vital time in history, really, in our lives, certainly, in the ministry, but just in history, it's a vital time to be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Coming up on the one-year anniversary of the attack on Israel last year, right? There's this little thing called an election in like a month, right? And there's already people that are doing, that can vote, I think even now in some states, and mailing it in and all that kind of stuff. So we're taking a stand against election corruption. And there was a job I was on in my business this past week. And this amazing young African-American man was going door to door. He had a Make America Great Again hat, a lanyard with the USA on it, and he was handing out Joe Kent flyers. Our conservative congressional candidate. And we were at a house in my route that I know these people are in the ministry, right? And he's just encouraging people to get out and vote. And oh, man, I was like, brother, God bless you. And I walked up to him and I compared the pigmentation of our skin. I was like, you see this, brother? We're not going to let the world tell us that should make us at odds, right? That's a lie, man. That's Marxism. Not saying there's no such thing as racism, but we're not going to allow the world to divide us, right? He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, it's about what's in the mind and what's in the heart. Yes. Yes. Right? He's like, you know, I'm not even from around here. I'm from New York. And I was like, so's Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump's from New York, too. And I was like, he was, you know, I was just encouraging him for what he was doing. I mean, it's hot. He's like dripping in sweat. And I'm like, brother, you are making America great again by what you're doing. But the wife of the person's house that we were at came to the door, didn't even let him come to the door. Ministry people. Somebody say ministry people. And she said, we're voting, or she said, I'm voting for Harris. I couldn't believe my ears. For women's rights, she said. The guy, I don't even know if this guy was a Christian, right? He's just out doing, you know, doing what he believes is right. You could tell he's like, you know what? I'm not even a Democrat. You know, I became a Republican. I was like, brother, it's not about that. It's about God bringing all different kinds of people together to work toward what is right. Right? Amen? And I told him I'm a pastor. I also do this, and I'm a pastor. And I said, brother, let me tell you something. I know those people are in the ministry, man. I can't believe what she just said. I mean, we pray for Kamala Harris and all these people, but what they are promoting from the left-wing Marxist Democrat, you know, in terms of abortion, what about the rights of the young woman in the womb? What about the rights of the women that were brutally treated on October 7th? What about them? To not even listen. When the prime minister came to Washington, she didn't even attend the meeting. It's vile. It's evil. And people need to repent. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is a reminder of. It's a reminder to the Jew, to Jews around the world. They celebrate and have a feast. But it is called a call to repentance. Because you want your name in the book of life. This is what Jews learn. You want your name in the book of life, so it's time to repent for any sin you committed over the past year. This is what Jews, you know, teach. And it's the Feast of Trumpets, the day of the blasting of shofars, followed by 10 days of awe, leading into the Day of Atonement, which is considered the holiest day of the year in Judaism, right? But all these things remind us on God's calendar. Again, you can hear those messages. In fact, I might just email the link to everybody so you don't have to go hunting for it. But it reminds us Feast of Trumpets is the rapture. So repent, so your name's in the book, so you go in the rapture. Because even if you're in the pulpit, you ain't going. If you're on Satan's team, you're not going. I don't care how many PhDs and master's degrees and how many congregations you partner with and oversee. If you are not ready, you are not going. Feast of Trumpets reminds us. I heard a minister who I greatly admire and respect, who is very much into the Jewish roots and messianic teaching. He said, he believes Jesus will return on the Feast of Trumpets. And you know what? Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Not saying this year. The Bible says no man knows the day or the time, but we know the season. And the more we know about these connections with our roots, the more light we get. Hallelujah. So it's a reminder to repent. And that's why this image of the escalators, Pastor Terry and Pastor George have been teaching on how to be strong in the end times. And evil, it says, in, if you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew 24, we're going to read a few things out of that today. But evil is going to be accelerating or escalating. Somebody say escalate. And so I had this image in my mind of escalators. And literally all of humanity is on one of two escalators. There's only, somebody say there's two. There's one going up and there's one not going up. And I'm not talking about the airport ones where you can walk like this and it feels like you're going like 90 miles an hour. No. You're going down. Somebody say down, down, down. The Seahawks game, I've never been to a Seahawks game until very recently with my brother-in-law, Dan. And those people get loud. The 12th man, right? And on third down, there's this huge, it sounds like the voice of God comes over the speaker. And we're eating garlic fries. And you know, the other team, it was the Cleveland Browns. And the guy goes, it's third down. And while his voice is getting quieter, the fans get louder and louder and louder because they want to stop them from moving the ball, right? Well, end times is kind of like third down, fourth down, and somebody is going down. And his name is Lucifer. His name is Satan and all his henchmen. But here's the thing. If people attach themselves to him, then they're going with him. It's kind of like those old Roadrunner cartoons, remember, where Wile E. Coyote is holding this anvil, and he just doesn't think of releasing the anvil. And it takes him down, right? So sin is going down. I mean, into the pit of hell, man. Have you noticed it's like the pit of hell is manifesting on planet Earth? Why? Because the devil knows his time is near. Back when I was a kid, there was this teaching that they distributed amongst youth groups about backmasking. Anybody remember this? Where you were listening to some secular song, but if you play it backwards, it was subliminally getting a message into the kid's mind of some satanic or evil thing, right? And some people mocked it. Well, nowadays, they just come right out and say it. Have you noticed that? It's like, we don't need backmasking. We're just going to come right out and just blast the filth right through. Why? Because the devil knows his time is near. But God has called his people to be strong in the end times, not to go with the course of the world. Right? And Jesus said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The word that Lindsay gave is how you avoid that. Somebody say, stay close. Stay close, even if it seems like he's nowhere near. Where are you, Lord? Since 2020, since the pandemic, since the crazy election, since all the crazy where are you, Jesus? I might as well just go ahead and go with the rest of the world because apparently you don't care. That's not the attitude to have, church. That's not the attitude to have, church. No, we draw closer to him and understand that he's drawing closer to us too. Amen? But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us these things, right? Let's look at verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. Deception is a hallmark of the end times. Deception. When even ministers of the gospel are saying, I'm with her, I'm with Harris, and I won't go back. Have you noticed that little thing? This, we won't go back. Why don't you just say, we're going to hell, we're going to hell. We refuse to go to heaven, we're going to hell. We won't go back. We won't repent. We won't repent. What, talk about stupid. Dumb. Right? Deadly. Disastrous. For them, not for me. I'm with him. I don't know about you. I actually do know about you. We're with Jesus. We're on the escalator going up. But I love that little picture there because you can see there's a part of time where the two intersect. And that's the time where folks can jump from one to the other, right? And I believe many, maybe, believe it or not, maybe not all, but I believe many, if they knew, that's why we pray, binding the spirit of deception. If they knew and understood what there is to avoid, they would jump out of there, man. There were people, I hate watching the videos of 9/11. That was so, what, like they said with, same thing like they said with the attack on Pearl Harbor, a day that will live in infamy. But because of all the, you know, the updated technology, you could see people jumping out of the building and falling to their death. Right? Because fire, explosion, and you know, once someone is in hell, there's no escape. None. Over. Right? Now's the time. Somebody say, now's the time. Rosh Hashanah reminds us, Feast of Trumpets, that starts October 2nd at sundown. Maybe we should just scan the east for a minute at sundown on October 2nd. Is he coming? Is he coming? Right? Hallelujah. For us, it's a cause to rejoice, these types of things. They're reminders that he is coming. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he is coming. Somebody say, he's coming for me. Yeah. Hallelujah. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, Jesus says. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That literally means nationality against nationality. Have you noticed that type of thing trying to crop up all over the place? Right? Even woman against man and all this kind of stuff, right? Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrow for the world. Somebody say, sorrow for the world. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. For my name's sake, Jesus says, right? And many will be offended and will betray one another. They will hate one another. Many false prophets, verse 11, will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 12. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Somebody say, that's me. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. So somebody say, keep preaching the gospel. Keep sowing into the preaching of the gospel. Do not quit. Do not relent. Do not back off. Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to be people that vote. In this country, we have a right to vote. We have a dear friend of ours, and I heard on one of the, I think it was a military, retired military spokesperson on Victory Network or Flashpoint or one of those broadcasts. And he said, I'd never thought of this before. He said a lot of veterans do not vote because they don't, it's like, why? Right? And we have a dear friend of ours that, again, we were, this same guy I was telling you about, the African-American young man, came through our neighborhood yesterday. And there's a dear friend of ours who is amazing guy. And we heard his reply to the man, and he is a veteran, retired. And he said, I don't vote. What's it count? What's it matter? Right? Amen. So we've got to be people that broadcast to our friends and family, vote, vote. Your vote does count. Your vote does matter. It's our responsibility to the next generation. We don't want to leave this next generation in a more of a mess than it is now. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. Hallelujah. So take heed that no one deceives you, Jesus says. And our foundation text there, Proverbs 18:14, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So being strong in spirit is the key. A strong spirit. That's where we are one with God in our spirit man that's born again. Our spirit man ought to be feeding our soul and our flesh. Our spirit man cannot be fed by our flesh man, and right? Our spirit man needs to be the one that's in charge. We follow the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Ghost. But if we don't do that, then we're not going to survive this thing. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to give in. But somebody say, I'm going to stay strong in Jesus. I'm going to stay close to him. Amen. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So it's important to remember it's his might that's getting us through this. And that includes our nation. Got to be watching any negativity coming out of our mouths regarding our country and our families and all this kind of stuff. Amen. But again, the Feast of Trumpets talks about your name being in the Book of Life, talks about days of awe. How many know when the rapture happens, the world is going to be in awe? A lot of people will wait. That'll be the ultimate wake-up call for many. Like, oh my goodness, it was true. They'll know exactly what happened. And they'll spend the next years hiding, right? Many of them will be martyred. Somebody say, be on the first plane. I'm going to be on the first plane. But it's the Feast of Trumpets talks about a holy convocation, right? There's a rapture coming, the trumpet will blow, and we're going to have a holy convocation, a holy gathering in the clouds with Jesus and all of his family. How many got at least one person in heaven you're looking forward to seeing? Again, I mean Jesus, of course, but family, right? Friends that are there waiting for us, that are praying, interceding. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And I was listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam again. I've been doing this kind of weekly Torah portion with the Jews on Saturdays. And Joseph Shulam is a messianic rabbi. And yesterday the portion included Deuteronomy 29. And it talked about all of Israel standing together. When you stand before the Lord, they're preparing to take the land and go in, you know, and take the promised land. And he said, Joseph said, the word stand is a loaded word, he said. Talks about leaving behind idolatry. He talked about how idolatry can start seeping into your faith if you're not watchful. And he talked about the word stand is like a pillar, like a statue, he said. He said, in fact, it's the same word in Genesis 19 when it says Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Why? Because she refused to repent, right? She looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. So again, it illustrates the option of being a pillar in the kingdom of God or a pillar of salt. Because all these people, no matter how many of them make it sound so glorious and good in Hollywood and media and social media and all these people that talk about all this garbage that the Bible clearly says is sin, that's going to become salt, worthless. So we have a choice. And that's what the rabbi was telling us. Choose to be a pillar, a strong pillar in God's house, rooted in his word, right? He said it really means like taking a judo stance, kung fu, he said. Where you're, ha! Amen. That sounds like being strong in the Lord, amen? Somebody say, I'm going to be a pillar in God's kingdom. I'm not going to be a pillar of salt. And that has everything to do with what are we standing for? Hallelujah. And what do we not stand for? I won't stand for it, devil. I won't stand for your trash in my family, in my schools, in my nation, in my church. I won't stand for it. Out. Out you go. Remember, It's a Wonderful Life? Out you pixies go. Through the door, out the window. Oh, somebody say, take a stand. Stand up. It's another thing I told this guy. We're out in the street in front of these people's houses. I'm like, brother, I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cuss. But these people and Christians need to read their Bibles. Read their Bibles. I said, brother, it's about little children. Little children. If even God's people, right, decide that this craziness is more important to them than the life of a little child. You're worthless. You're a pillar of salt. And I choose to be a pillar in the kingdom of God. To stand up for what's right, even if nobody else is going to do it. Why? Because it's right. Well, my vote doesn't matter. What's it matter? Oh, it matters. Kenneth Copeland said, our vote is a seed. That's what will come back on you and your family. Hallelujah. Amen. So I got to hustle up here because we have no time left, really. So let's just make time stand still right now, okay? So we draw strength from God's word. That's where we get it. Somebody say, I draw strength from God's word. And you can see here, if you have your notes, there are several verses that Pastor George and Terry brought out. And I'm going to read through them, and you can just listen to them again online later if you to review it. But we draw strength from God's word. Psalm 119:28, Amplified Classic. If you have your notes, read it out loud with me. Raise me up and strengthen me according to the promises of your word. Hallelujah. The Message version says, my sad life's dilapidated, a falling down barn. We could say my sad nation is dilapidated, a falling down barn. Build me up again by your word. Hallelujah, right? And they say, you can only give out what has become real to you. So what Lacey did the other day when she was ministering to that lady that collapsed out in front of her business, right? Having PTSD from her military experiences, didn't have her dog that helped, you know, people have that, what they call it, a comfort pet or something. Assistance, what do they call it, right? Lacey was even better than that, obviously. And the Spirit of God on the inside of her brought words of encouragement. But if that wasn't inside of her already, she'd have had nothing to offer the lady. Oh, what a bummer. She called people, going the lady's phone, and there were people that answered the ladies that she wanted to reach out to that were negative to her on the phone. I don't got time for that. Deal with it kind of thing, right? So she gave out what was real to her on the inside of her. What a great example, right? You have to feed the word of God into your heart first, into your heart first. The word has to become a part of you. When it becomes strength to you, then you can share that strength with others. Oh, it is so important, church, that we don't get so consumed with the forest that we miss the tree right in front of us. Right? God has put you in different... I love Rick Renner. He said this, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Now that sounds like look out, devil, when the whole body of Christ gets that, right? Amen. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, of mine heart. The GW, God's Word version, says it this way. Your words were found, and I devoured them. Your words are my joy and my heart's delight. We have to be people that delight ourselves in the Word. They talked a lot about almost like being in the gym. Ever heard of the term gym rat? That guy's always in the gym. He's a gym rat. We got to be a Word rat. Always in the Word. Always in the Word. Always in the Word. Delighting in it. Taking joy in His words. Oh, it's a breath of fresh air. That's the word the Lord gave me about new growth for the church. Like a forest fire went through and all the trees are, and then they plant new trees and it's new growth. It's like fresh air coming into the environment from all these new trees, right? And the word of God, His words are like fresh air. Right now, this world, people around us need literally spiritual oxygen. They are suffocating with the hopelessness, with the negativity, with the despair. And you come in with a word of faith and a word of hope, and it's like oxygen. But they can't receive oxygen unless you first. Like on airplanes, they'll tell you, if you have a little kid and the oxygen mask come on, put the one on yourself first. So then you'll be able to think clearly to get the... Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 20:32 says this. The word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. The BBE translation says it's able to make you strong. We're talking about being strong in spirit, which will carry you through and over anything. Hallelujah. Romans 15:4, the New Living Translation. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement. Boy, is the world starved for hope and encouragement. All they hear is hopelessness and discouragement, and don't complain about it. Isn't that the harshness of the radical left? Hopelessness, discouragement, and don't gripe about it. Or we'll come shut down your business and take your kids. Feeling bitter, pick up litter. But the Word of God, this is why the devil has made the Bible illegal in a lot of other countries. Because hopelessness and discouragement equals slavery to dictatorships. And tyrannies, tyranny or tyranny, whatever. You get it, right? Hope and encouragement comes from God's word as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The TCNT translation says it this way, through the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast. Somebody say, hold fast to our hope. Somebody say, stand another day. Did you stand yesterday? Yes. Then what are you going to do today? Somebody say, stand. Taking my stand of faith. The Greek translates hope as confidence and expectation. So we ought to be going through every day confidently and with a great sense of expectation. Like Oral Roberts would say, something good is going to happen to you. People would write him letters. What do you mean something good is going to happen? Well, what do you want? Something bad happened to you? Hallelujah. We have confident expectation in the Word of God, the goodness of our God, right? And then Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read you a couple verses there. We're doing pretty good here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 2. And thank you, Pastor George and Terry, for sharing this direction. Boy, I'll tell you what, it is not a time to be the Lone Ranger for Jesus. It is time to tighten up the ranks and pack it in tight and be where God wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do. Have you ever seen those National Geographic shows where the lions are hunting for like the little zebra or something? Mom's blouse made me think of zebras. And what do? They find the littlest zebra, and usually, or the one that's by themselves. Somebody said, not time to even be by yourself. I don't need church. I fellowship at the lake. I fellowship with nature. I watch it online. Keith Moore said, he was looking at the camera and he said, all you that haven't been here for a while, he said, you can't serve virtually. Or remotely, right? Oh, I go to church remotely. Somebody said, get back at it, man. Online stuff is good like a vitamin, supplement, but nothing replaces what you're doing right now. Hallelujah. And it was God's idea, right? Joshua 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and all this, you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Then verses 5 through 9, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. Somebody say, only be strong. And very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the folks out there that are Christians, even in leadership, that act like, it's like, where in the world did that concept come from? It's because they're not in the Word. They've drifted away from the Bible. They're not reading it. They're not hearing it preached. They're not in under authority of it. And you get goofy. And even saying it's in the name of Jesus. Come on, right? So, Pastor, we'll conclude with this. In regards to this chapter in Joshua, this is from Pastor George Terry. Three times God said, be strong. Somebody say, be strong. And Moses told Joshua twice before he died to be strong. Three keys in order to be strong, right? Do the word. Don't turn from it. Somebody say, do the word. Speak the word. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Somebody say, speak the word. Meditate in it day and night. Somebody say, meditate the word. And that means literally chewing the word. Remember how kind of a gross example, but cows, how they have all those different compartments and they chew and they regurgitate and chew some more and regurgitate and chew some. We got to continually be chewing on the, maybe it's even just a single verse that just jumps out at you and you just meditate in it, meditate in it, meditate in it. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Read the word with the ears of your heart open to hear, drawing on God's love, correction, and direction. And then finally, listen to the preached word in whatever format you can. Hear the word wherever you know a good, strong faith word is being preached. Somebody say amen. Let's all stand up on our feet today. Hallelujah. Just take a big breath and go, I receive that fresh oxygen air, the strength and words and power of God in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this word. We choose in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I choose to be a pillar, rock solid in my faith in Jesus and in the word of God. I choose to stay close to you, Lord. To follow close after you, to be contrite, have my ears open and my eyes open, my heart open. And any even slight residue of any idolatry that tries to seep into my life, I repel it, recognize it. Somebody say, I'll recognize it and I'll reject it in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we commit our lives, God, to pointing others to Jesus. Hallelujah. Being strong in the strength of the Lord. Just lift your hands and receive His strength. Just say, Lord, I receive Your strength. I receive Your Spirit. Another way to build yourself up is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Everybody just pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Shotoke la revebete. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just say, I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in other tongues. And that's another way to build yourself up in your faith. Glory de shita lava badone ashondo. Ke la rava boshite. Yea lava bashondo no no. Oh, how we praise You, Lord. Oh, how we love You. We commit our lives to You, Jesus, to spreading the good news of salvation to the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The rabbi said, one of his other remarks was that Jesus, the Word of God, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but it is here and available to a sin-sick world, to a sin-sick soul. So God, we pray in Jesus' name for all people that are literally bound by that spirit of deception, and they are sick in their soul to the point of death, and we speak life to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak spiritual CPR to them that are spiritually collapsed on the ground, like that woman the other day that Lacey ministered to. Spiritually, there are people literally in just the fetal position on the ground, and they just have no hope. They're discouraged, and they've rejected God's love and God's laws and God's truth. And we speak in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit of deception off of them that's plugged their ears, and we open their ears and their eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak that they see and they hear and they have the sense to choose Jesus Christ to come into the light. And we give You all the praise and glory for these things. In Jesus' mighty name. And if anyone's listening to this message later and you say, that's me, Pastor Steve, what you just said, that's me. Well, then you pray this prayer after us right now. We're all going to pray with you. And you give your life to Jesus right now. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I turn from my sins and I turn my life over to You, Jesus. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for dying for me, raising back to life for me, and I will live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We rejoice with you if you prayed that prayer today. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.